bones are amazing things. They hold us up. They support us. They make us strong. But bones have other uses. In the past, bones were thrown by diviners, seeking out the mysteries of the future. Now the bones are cubes, made of plastic or resin, but they still reveal things to us as they fall from our fingers and rattle across the table. The story becomes clear. Welcome to Bone Throwers Theater, an RPG actual play podcast.
Welcome back to Bone Throwers Theater, playing skeletons. I'm Aaron, and my skeleton is the Headless.
This is Johnny, and I am the Whore.
I'm Jordan,
and I'm playing Crawler.
And I'm Jeremy, playing Tattered Cloak.
We have finished our first era, the Unsealed Tomb. We all spent a year meditating in the darkness, mentally digesting information that has floated to the surface during the time we have been animated by magic. And I remember someone from my past. This person was the one who I loved. Her name was Thakon, and Thakon is not far from me. In fact, she is in a niche on the other side of this room. For Thakon is the Jade Jeweled Daughter. And the reason that I loved her was because she was the only one who showed me kindness. I was so disfigured that I could not sit at a table like a regular person. The only thing I could actually do was kneel, and my weight was always shifted completely forward onto my arms. I could not put my hand to my mouth to feed myself. And Thakon, when she saw that, she took pity on me. And while everybody else around the great lord was feasting and laughing and enjoying the merriment of the revel, she would crouch down beside me and she would hold a bowl of soup or stew or venison that she had diced by hand at the table. And then she would also hold in her other hand a goblet of wine, a bowl of water, some slightly aged fermented milk, and I would lap it up like a dog. And because she was the only one who showed poor Crawler any kind of kindness, any semblance of mercy, any love in the world, I reciprocated all of the love that I had in my being upon Thakon.
The last encounter with the grave robber revealed that there's a place in this tomb where Tattered Cloak cannot set foot. That has to do with a mistake he made in life, which caused his death, and now is cursed in the afterlife. He cannot set foot on the mosaic floor because he's not allowed in that close proximity to the one he ultimately protects.
In the dark and the silence, Headless had a memory of losing his head. Headless was a priest in his former life and had a young apprentice. And Headless wanted to be as close to the saint as possible and underwent a spiritual rite that for those of devout faith and willingness to follow the saint is said to grant them ultimate power in their faith. And essentially, Headless came to this tomb, just outside the tomb, and was placed on a headsman's block before the opening here, and his apprentice removed his head. What's supposed to happen is the person undergoing the rite is supposed to stand back up and put their head back on their shoulders, as the saint did. Instead, Headless fell to the ground, bled out in front of his apprentice right outside of this tomb.
During the time of the dark, The whore remembered that part of his charge, part of the reason he was created, was to protect the seven gem sisters. He came into being along with their lives as part of their protection, as well as his lord's.
Must have been a horrific ceremony to create, or at least one monstrous creature.
One monstrous creature. If you're going to create something to protect your family, your loved ones, aren't you going to create something horrific?
I mean, that seems like the most logical choice, yes. We have entered the time of dust. Arise and protect the tomb, skeletal guardians. Choose an intruder, mark it, and follow the instructions. When two intruders have been checked off and dealt with, go to the desecration. Our first intruder, a family seeking shelter.
That's again dark.
Are they refugees? Are they monsters? Everyone answers one question if they wish. If someone slays the matriarch, they may answer too. Choose once on either the glory fades or God's laughs table.
And this one, everyone may.
Yes.
Not everyone must.
Correct. So the horror has stood frozen in time. Mm-hmm. The crawler has stood frozen in time. Will the tattered cloak or will the headless stand frozen in time?
I will control this family.
Okay.
What most people didn't realize is that when the ceiling over on the near the eastern wall collapsed, it actually made it easier to get down into there. And a family of ghouls, they're being driven out from above ground where they have been
living peacefully.
Living relatively peacefully. Only eating the people that
are dying.
Yeah.
Sick.
So there's a graveyard
above the tomb. Yeah. This tomb is part of a larger
cemetery complex.
Yeah. And so these ghouls are being hunted and have dug their way down into the crypt from that eastern wall area.
Okay. How many members are in the family?
Five. Two small children.
Giblets? Ghoulets?
Oh,
like giblets.
The kind of giblets you make gravy out of? Like I feel like giblet gravy, suddenly I'm not as interested.
Ghoul gravy sounds ghoulish.
A couple of ghoulettes, small ghouls, and they're recently ghoulified. And then there's an older one, and then two oldest, one of which would be the matriarch. Matriarch has clearly been around for a while. Has an odor coming off of her flesh hanging in sickly folds. Pieces of skin missing where you can see that she had been in a fight very recently as part of their retreat to the tomb.
Do they drop from the ceiling or do they skitter down the wall?
So there's actually kind of a bit of a landslide there. Like, they don't really drop too far. There's like a couple foot gap between the top of the ceiling and the top of that landslide, that cave-in. And so they just kind of drop down and start coming down that cave-in.
How do they react when they see the sarcophagus?
So one thing that most people don't realize is that as a ghoul gets hungry, their eyes glow. And when they see the sarcophagus, the entire family actually is filled with a ravenous hunger. Something about this sarcophagus wakes something up in these ghouls. A strong desire to consume. You can see that they're actually attempting to regain their self-control, but they are drawn towards the sarcophagus.
As Tattercloak stands from his kneeling position, they would notice another glow coming from the opal niche. The niche that Tattercloak was kneeling in front of.
Crawler is almost as far away from them as he can get. He's going to go ahead and start skittering on his hands and knees towards the sarcophagus. He's going to make his way around to the eastern side of the sarcophagus, and he's going to hiss at the ghouls, try to scare them off in the language of their people.
Does Crawler speak ghoul?
Yes.
Okay. So Crawler's trying to scare them off with speech.
Or walks over to the sarcophagus and climbs on top of it and perches.
That is terrifying.
That would be terrifying. What did Crawler say to the ghoul family?
You will not desecrate this place any further. We have a horror.
I have an army!
As the ghoul family is approaching the sarcophagus, you can see the matriarch. You know, she hears Crawler's speech and starts to regain some semblance of control and starts looking around, trying to identify threats in the area so she can protect her family. But the rest of the ghoul family is still moving towards the sarcophagus.
That's what they see.
They're not really noticing much because they're almost like they're hypnotized is almost what it looks like. You know, like the old zombie movies, the brains. Like they're kind of sightless, just driven by hunger for flesh.
I guess the matriarch then would see tattered cloak slowly, eerily, silently, almost like the bones weren't walking, but they were floating around in front of the other niches towards the east wall.
Obviously, Crawler's words did not meet with the response that he was expecting. So I'm going to go ahead and answer a question from the God's Laugh table. A skeleton's weapon is broken, bent, or rendered useless. So Crawler is going to scurry forward and stab at the body of one of, not the tiled ghouls, but one of the older ghouls, not the matriarch, but one of the middle tiers.
Okay.
Stab at it. And unfortunately, Crawler's knife has been much nicked. So as it sinks into the flesh of the leg of the ghoul, the blade snaps off from the pommel of the dagger, and the ghoul picks it up and he flings it away uselessly. So Crawler has to do something unthinkable. He grabs his femur, his right femur, disconnects it, and starts wailing at the ghouls with his femur.
Your femur club?
Yep. It's the new high spot in New York City, Club Femur.
All right. So how close is the matriarch to the sarcophagus?
So the matriarch is kind of protective.
Yeah.
So let's say the family is about to step onto the mosaic. The matriarch is just hovering right behind them, but trying to keep an eye out everywhere at the same time.
I think I'm going to wait till they step onto the mosaic. As they step on the mosaic, I'm going to pounce.
Okay.
Jump off the top of the sarcophagus. Uh-huh. Fall on top of them.
All claws extended.
That's a lot of claws.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which side you're on, the ghouls that are leading the charge are the younger, fresher ones.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to move faster, and so they are the first ones that have stepped onto that mosaic. The matriarch and the middle one that has been stabbed in the leg, and then the other older one are a little bit lagging behind. And so as you leap and land on the two younger ones, they fall down and their heads smack against the floor.
With claws into their heads also.
They both die.
Yeah.
Quite gruesomely.
Uh-huh. That was my goal.
Child killer. Seeing you do this, the matriarch grabs the other two and pushes them towards the exit of the tomb. It says, "Fly, you fools." Tells them to leave while at the same time, like, trying to fly into a little bit of a rage and starts swinging at the two skeletons that are close, trying to buy them time.
And where's the tattered cloak?
Circling around.
Yeah.
So,
kind of floating, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Are you moving quicker this time than you were before? Or are you? We never so. Are we fast moving or independently? Inherently slow.
I'm slower than the rest of you, but I don't think we're shufflers.
Yeah.
So, tattered cloak is, in all that confusion, try and
whip around behind the...
Between them and the eastern wall?
Yeah, matriarch. Sword in hand, blade going down, and is just going to try and thrust straight down into the top of the skull of the
closest
matriarch.
Of the matriarch.
Okay.
I would say that kills the matriarch.
I would say so.
So you kill matriarch, we're chasing the other two. Do they make it out or do we kill them?
Oh, they die.
I think that's up to you guys.
The one that I am working on dies because...
I think I want to let one of them escape without a foot.
As I am hitting with my femur, it shatters along the lines that have been exposed by the magic. And I use my own femur to stab the ghoul to death. So the horror allows his to escape.
Yes. Purpose.
So the last thing, as the horror is attempting to kill him and, or letting him escape, the ghoul is like crawling out of the main entrance of this tomb and is like panting in fear and in terror, leaking this viscous white fluid from its torn and removed foot.
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to answer. It says I may answer a second question, but yes. I'm only going to answer one question. So that same death of the rats, that happens to the matriarch as well. Just kind of
power. Dust.
Powder. Dust. We're in the dust phase.
When you're full of power, that's what happens.
Yeah. And then the question that I'm going to answer is something from a skeleton's past has been accidentally revealed. What was it? And why was it hidden? And note this on the map. So the sarcophagus had already been moved. Horror, when you jumped off,
shifted it more.
Now there is this black mist sort of around the bottom of it. And just as before, after each encounter, Tattered Cloak makes its way to the next niche, which is Onyx, and kneels down. When Tattered Cloak kneels down, the mist from the sarcophagus kind of wraps around as if it was being choked, as if Tattered Cloak is being choked. The skeleton sort of dematerializes. The cloak is now draped over top of the sword that is in front of the Onyx niche.
What color is the cloak now?
It's still red.
Okay. Does it get darker or more vibrant or?
No, it was most vibrant when it was in front of the ruby. It's just how it normally is.
So here are our time passes options. A month, a year, a decade, a century, multiple centuries, a millennium.
It's your choice this time, Johnny.
I'm going to go with multiple centuries.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Choose once on the world's crumble or time devours table and adjust the map as needed. When ready, turn off the lights and sit in silence.
So we all together choose a world's crumble or time devours question.
Yep.
Okay. World's crumble. For anything affecting the tomb itself, note it on the map and adjust accordingly. A wall comes down, blocking part of the tomb.
I did this already.
A tomb robber is successful. What did they steal? The great sarcophagus splits open.
It's already halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
The tomb is flooded. Gold and silver dull. Iron rusts. Colors fade to a sepulchral gray. A thick layer of dust covers every surface. Time devours. The webs of tomb spiders form an intricate filigree over the walls and ceilings.
No.
The tomb is infested.
No.
What signs of vermin remain long after the infestation ends? A crack develops, creating an opening for robbers and other vermin. Something collapses, leaving a large pile of debris. Wood, cloth, hide, horn, an unenchanted bone all turns to powder. An earthquake rocks the tomb, drastically altering its shape and utility. Many things are destroyed. Adjust the map. Would you like me to roll a die?
Can we roll the die and then decide if we want to answer that one or if we want to choose a different one?
I don't want tomb spiders.
The ones I'm inclined to lean towards. Right, we already have an opening that with the
cave. Yeah, we have some that we've already
done to ourselves. Yeah. We can also collapse the place even more.
And yeah, we could.
You know, closing in some of the
open space.
Block off some of the sisters.
Or a crack in the wall. Or they're not. In the western wall could appear.
They're,
although we kind of did that with the eastern side.
The sarcophagus is already halfway open.
None of them jumped out to me.
One of them jumped out as a no to me.
It sounded like a good choice.
No!
I personally, I'm leaning towards the sarcophagus splitting open.
I think that one's a decent one.
Yeah.
Can we extend that the sarcophagus has fallen? Since it's no longer on a stable base, it falls and
that's
cracks.
That's why it cracks open.
It's actually, according to the story that we've created so far, it's actually a very logical choice.
Yes.
So now the sarcophagus is laying down like this, and it's got this big crack running through it.
So we've drawn on the map that the sarcophagus is now laying on the ground prone rather than standing up, and it is facing in a northeast direction. What was within it?
The master.
Let's say now around it, there is just encompassing that thin layer of like
black smoke
all around. And for the past, I don't know, centuries, when it's cracked, there are now always whispers.
When I chose multiple centuries, I was thinking 700.
To tie in with the sisters. So actually, we'll say this, that the light that has been glowing within the jewels of the sisters is actually now kind of streaming towards the crack.
Like the gems themselves are kind of fading.
Yeah, because whatever is power. Inside the sarcophagus is being preserved, and it needs to draw power from a new source now that the sarcophagus has been violated.
Yeah.
Through the crack, you start seeing bandages slowly, slowly coming out. Like, they start flowing out maybe half an inch every year.
Half an inch every year, and it's been 700 years?
Yes.
That's a lot.
Well, so it happens every year since it fell over.
Yeah, good point.
Well, we don't know when it fell over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It probably fell over about 400 years into the...
So it's been about 300 years.
And it's kind of like it's coming up and it's hurling out and draping down the sides. And there's also like this cloying smell, almost of like cloves. The whispers are the voices of all the people that have been conquered. Are we satisfied with that answer?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. It is time to turn off the lights. Are we ready?
Yep.
arise and protect the tomb, skeletal guardians. Who would like to answer their question first?
Question is, who here among the skeletons richly deserves this fate and why? And the answer to that question is the tattered cloak, because he betrayed the king.
During the darkness, I was pondering my connection to the ghouls that we just fought. And I came to the realization that part of my body was taken from the bones of ghouls' bodies. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of all the pain of the arthritis I suffered in life.
My question is, whom did you once love? As a priest, I was sworn to celibacy. My apprentice was my child. The one who ended up having to remove my head.
My name is Pelvet. All right, adventurers.
Who's invading our tomb now?
Giant tomb spiders.
Yay! Okay, you get to, I'm not in the scene.
You are the tomb spiders.
That's even worse.
Intelligent and graceful, they are stubborn, clever, and hard to dislodge. Do you destroy them? Do you reach an understanding? How? Everyone can answer one question if they wish. Choose once on either the glory fades or God's last table.
So, from the north entrance, there is a web that projects out of the blackness of the path and attaches itself to the mirror that is directly underneath the skylight. You hear the tension on the web and the tension on the glass of the mirror. And then you hear the shatter of the glass as the mirror is pulled off of its stand. Then the skittering of legs.
How large are the spiders?
Various sizes.
Large.
It does say they are giant. So that could be anything from the size of a small dog to a small horse.
I mean a cat. A cat-sized spider is pretty damn giant.
So that's what awakens the skeletons.
Is the breaking of the mirror?
The breaking of the mirror.
So we wake up, there's a broken mirror, and the sarcophagus is on the ground and broken open.
Crawler loves spiders.
And fittingly, as you guys are animated, you just see the tattercloak still just hanging on the...
On the sword.
On the sword.
Yeah.
Crawler petitions the other skeletons that are present that we make an alliance with the spiders.
As you're petitioning, Boris grabbing one in his beak.
Hungry, hungry horror.
Yep.
I think Headless would be for the idea of an alliance with these spiders, as they would help protect the tomb if proper agreements can be reached, such as they remain in the opening only or along the...
Stay off the mosaic?
Yeah.
Yeah, if they stay off the mosaic. If they could stay actually on the ceiling, like dropping down upon our enemies.
They're mostly on the ceiling. Now, they seem to be making their way over to the southern wall.
Where the
Seven Sisters
niches are?
Yes.
Is the skylight open?
I would imagine yes. Unless it's been blocked, maybe has something been built over top of the skylight
that would block it. No, the skylight is open.
One of the mirrors has been
broken. The one right underneath the skylight has been broken. So it's not being dispersed as well.
That mirror was angled towards the onyx niche.
What is going on with the stones that are having their power drawn towards the sarcophagus at this point? Now that there are spiders in the room.
That seems to be what the spiders are drawn towards.
The light or the...
The gems that are emanating that power.
Okay.
Well, we can't have that.
I don't think an alliance is going to be possible. Well played.
It's like, how can I thwart this?
So Headless is going to start swinging his big old mace, taking out spiders. How many spiders are there?
It says a lot.
Well, regardless, I know what I'm going to do. Is I'm going over to the burrow niche, and I'm going to climb up into it and take the gem that's on my necklace and hold it in the light. Let's see what happens. Try to deflect it and use it as a weapon.
So you're doing what?
taking the power from the burl that's going floating towards the sarcophagus, and using the gem that's in my necklace.
So you're basically
to weaponize it.
You're depowering the sarcophagus.
Only partially.
The spiders seem to be attracted to your gem now.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Pelvet is going to go stand in front of the Jade Daughter's niche. And he is going to use his femur to bang away at any giant spiders that come near it.
Now, since you are a crawler, you're low to the ground.
Yes.
There on the ceiling.
Some of them are dropping down to try and get at the gems, I would imagine.
Well, I'd imagine the gems were
melted above the niches.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of all.
But part of the issue is that because this is an abject failure for Pelvet starts realizing that his memory of the Jade Sister, Thakon, is flawed. And I'm going to be answering one of the questions.
Yes.
The bowls that she provided with me were not filled with food. Thakon was actually probably one of my worst tormentors.
Ooh. What were they filled with? Don't leave us hanging.
Partially dried blood, waste matter.
You mean poop?
And urine, yes. Feces okay. In urine. Rotten eggs. Vomit. And she would force my face into these and hold my head into it until I was trying to beat the ground, trying to get away because I was starting to drown. Pelvet is not in a good place. So Pelvet goes to the sarcophagus.
Oh no.
And I crawl on top of the sarcophagus. And I wrap my arms around it to protect the master from the Jade Daughter. And the spiders,
of course. Of course. The Headless is going to keep swinging his mace, but as he is swinging his mace, he and his mace are beginning to glow, like they're getting hot, like a bright heat, red hot color.
What are spiders doing now?
We got some that are coming after your gem. Most of them, yes, are still going after the gems above the
niches. What happens when the light from the gem I'm redirecting onto the spiders hits them?
So you're...
I'm redirecting the power from the light into the spiders, like, trying to like laserize it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're like hissing and shrieking away, recoiling. A couple webs have shot out in an attempt to grab it. Yep.
Does it burn through the web or no?
Yeah. The light burns through the web.
Yeah.
They're just focused on the gems and recoiling from any of the light that is
being
directed.
Are we making any kind of headway in the numbers?
Just a lot. They don't seem to be increasing.
Okay.
They seem to be, when I say recoiling, not like fleeing, mm-hmm. but going to parts away from the light.
Yeah.
And then trying to attempt to a different
around,
route.
Yeah.
Okay. Towards the gems. But it's very clear that they do not like this reflection being directed at them.
Yeah. So as you're swinging your mace, Headless is swinging the mace, it smacks into a wall where a spider was, and it opens up another little niche that was hiding a pile of rings. Those rings just happened to have been mine. Question was, it says, some of the skeleton's past has been accidentally revealed. What was it and why was it hidden?
Why were the rings hidden?
Rings were hidden because those were gifts from each of the seven sisters to me.
Mm. How big are these mirrors that are around the room?
Body-sized mirrors.
They're from a time of forgotten antiquity.
And that niche just happens to be right next to the onyx niche where I was originally standing.
I'm going to say... Crawler is on top of the sarcophagus where the crack is. The smoke is in the thoracic cavity, like just kind of gathering about. And he can see that the spiders that are coming to the edge of the fog that is surrounding the sarcophagus start to choke and die, flip over onto their backs. So Pelvet actually has this smoke like trapped in his ribcage, and he starts crawling over and flinging his body onto the spiders and starts smothering them to death. And soon there is a carpet of spiders covering the cold mosaic floor.
As you do that, the shrieking of these spiders intensifies, and as the noise intensifies, the ones that are on the ceiling start to scurry away.
And the spiders have all left the tomb. How much time passes now? A month? A year? A decade? A century? Or a millennium?
Okay, that's all. Before we do the time passes.
Yeah.
So the cloak and the sword that had just been cloak draped on the sword, just kind of that same dust that had happened with the death of anything the sword killed, just happens as soon as like the spiders leave. The sword seems to, and cloak seems to just into dust, and then a kneeling skeleton appears like out of the mist in front of the Burl Mage.
We're going to go ahead and say that a century passes. So that means that we can choose once on the World's Crumble or Time Devours Tables.
I'm a fan of Roland for it, but that's because none of them jumped out to me.
I'm a fan for Roland.
Fan for Roland.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
5. Wood, cloth, hide, horn, and unenchanted bone all turn to power. Note this on the map.
We didn't have much in there.
Well, are the sisters unenchanted? I would assume that.
My theory is that they are enchanted.
Would that mean tattered cloak's cloak?
No, that's enchanted.
Okay.
So the mirrors actually can start.
Yeah, I would say the mirrors maybe are not enchanted.
Yeah, they're definitely not enchanted.
So the mirrors are still, but the mirrors don't stand on their own.
Right, it could be the stands.
I would say the mirrors would survive time, but not necessarily the fall from wherever they're mounted on.
Yeah, so maybe a couple of them are cracked.
They're all on the floor.
Yeah, the mounting has come apart and all the mirrors are gone.
They may be split or whole even, but they're just not mounted anymore.
Right,
yeah.
So I'm just going to go ahead and put X's through them so that we know that they're no longer reflecting light.
Yeah.
The skylight is the same though. All right, go ahead and take a look at your questions. We're going to go ahead and turn off the light. Are you ready?
Thank you for listening to Bone Throwers Theater. We are releasing this podcast under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported license. That means you can share the podcast, but please do not modify it or try to gain financially from it. If you would like to visit our website, you can do so at bonethrowerstheater.com. If you would like to send us an email, you can do so at bonethrowerstheater@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is bonethrowerstheater. You can also look us up on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And until next time, may the bones fall ever in your favor. This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.